Welcome, 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 welcome back to BTSE Podcast, meeting you where you are. I am the one, the only, the infamous.
I quit.
Chris Simon.
And I'm just Jada McCray.
I don't know what just gave me that boost of bravado just now.
I don't know. I don't know. You got an energy
Maybe
shot.
It was my singing prior to us turning this thing on.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
I thought you were
howling.
Yeah. At the moon. Good Lord.
No, it's Friday. I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
I think I'm looking good. I'm losing weight.
Yes, you are.
I've lost like
12 pounds, Chris.
Yeah, I was going to exaggerate, but you kind of beat me to it.
You definitely cut it.
I was
going to
go for like 30 or something like that. You know what
I don't think you had 30 to lose.
Yeah, I started at 203.
Okay.
And now, what's minus 30?
It's a nut.
So I'm feeling good. We did the yoga this morning.
Yeah, that was lit.
We're recording live from BTSE Services via the Simon Life and Wellness Center.
We did R&B yoga this morning because you selected the playlist.
My playlist was lit, wasn't it?
Bruh, if you don't get some earth
you
sounds.
You some waterfalls
yes!
and stuff. Yeah, I had the Toni Braxton, let it flow.
Yes, I
let
know.
Let it flow, let it flow. Mm-hmm. It was banging. And then I had the
until
Lena
we started Perez. Singing.
I had the Lena Perez. Some of that could, you were supposed to be relaxing and breathing hard, breathing deep. Mm-hmm. And some of those songs could trigger like an ex-boyfriend for you.
I'm telling you.
And then you relax and go to anger real quick.
I was like, only at BTSE would we have R&B yoga.
Twitter said, yo, you know they have trap yoga.
Yes, I know they have trap yoga.
So I was surprised
that we didn't have trap yoga because you picked the playlist.
Well, Twiggins actually does trap yoga.
Does she?
Yeah, she likes trap music.
Does she?
I actually have her trap yoga playlist.
Are you serious?
Yeah, she hit me after the yoga class today and said she liked the playlist, so I set to this one.
See, we got to have Twiggins on one day. So
Twiggins is actually on next week. So
okay.
You actually have to line it up, and I'm
all
telling
right.
you that
well,
while
do
we
that.
Live. George told me to tell you that earlier. Because George is going to be on vacation as of Thursday of next week.
So things will be running really smoothly. It's like George. We should actually let people know that Twiggins is actually Tanika Wiggins, but because I like to give everybody a nickname, and so does Chris, her nickname is Twiggins.
Twiggins. What is my nickname?
Who, you?
Yeah.
I call you Chris Simon. But that's for my own personal reasons because I'm married to Chris McCray, and so I always constantly have to differentiate the two.
Okay. All right, well, we have to work on a nickname for me, I guess.
Big head? Like, no.
No, because you can't walk down the hall. Hey, big head. You're going to be straight to HR.
That's a whole different.
Hey, big head. Can you come back here? Hey, big head. Can you come to my office real quick? Nah, bro.
Not in the age of Weinstein.
I mean, like, time's up, Jada. Time's up.
Hashtag
me too. But Jada, we.
Not to make light of that movement at all.
No. Mm-hmm. I'm just. But you know, I'm not even going to go there.
Never mind.
No, I was just going to talk about how. The movement of the Me Too thing is, and it was this funny joke that I'm not even gonna go into it. No,
thank okay.
Yeah, I know when to stop.
So we just gonna cut this whole part out.
Yes. No, it's good. We just it's all good. We keep rocking.
Yeah.
Do I have a little? You want to hear my little known Black History fact?
Go ahead.
Do you remember my Black History fact from last week?
Yes. Yes.
What's
Party
his name?
Over here.
Pernell
Jenkins. Party over here.
Party over. I actually don't have one. This week, but I'll work on one for next week since we are celebrating the blackness and we only have, what's today?
Today.
We only have 19 more days.
It was over before it began.
I know, right?
But remember, black
the
history is world history.
Man. It was over before
it began. But it's black history is world history, so you can talk about it at any time.
You know
time.
What? You actually made that point on the last podcast, and it was really good because I was my barber was listening to the podcast, and when you said black history is all history, so we should get to know not just black history, but all cultures, but just bringing it in how it isn't just like a segregated part of history.
No, uh-uh.
And this only applies to black people,
how
it is, you know, a part of everything.
Black history didn't start
with
slavery.
Oh, wow. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing.
So, speaking of black history, you made me feel good last week.
Oh, did I now?
Yeah.
Okay.
You made me feel like, you know, the Simon Life and Wellness Center, the way we approach this, you made me like, wow, you know, I get caught up. I don't get too high, too low.
Yeah.
I just run with my head down a lot of the times, which I got to stop doing. We're going to try to find some balance. I guess we'll talk about that a little later, right?
Balance is the key.
But, yeah, I was like, man, you know what? It is called the Simon Life and Wellness Center. And we have put together a phenomenal program together. And that is something to feel good about, I guess.
Definitely so. We do good work. Yes. Well, I like to think we do good work and we're impacting and affecting and changing lives.
Well, I don't never look behind the work you do, but I know I do good
work. Oh, my gosh.
The verdict is still out.
Just throw the whole center away. Good.
No. So, I know one of the questions that someone was asking me was like, what's the difference between the clinic mm-hmm. and the Simon Life and Wellness Center? Mm-hmm. And for everyone that doesn't know or may need to place a referral,
www.btscservices.com.
Click the referral link on any page.
Because the link will follow you from page
to
page.
Except the first page, because I don't think that link is working right, so you can do the rest of them. I don't know if Sarita got that fixed yet. She be doing too much.
Sarita just shook her head like,
I know, she was like, let me get on that. So the outpatient mental health clinic is where we provide off-site and outpatient therapy services and also rehabilitative services. However, the wellness center is about providing a little bit more than that. For people that mm-hmm. don't know, we're located on North Avenue and Howard Street.
Mm-hmm. That's the Baltimore location.
Yes, the Baltimore location, I'm sorry. And that is the old Child Protective Services building. And we were like, you know what? This is bigger than an outpatient mental health clinic. Mm-hmm. So my vision behind it was that we can make this a real life and wellness center mm-hmm. where it's non-dependent on the therapy and the outpatient mental health clinic part. Mm-hmm. It's just like its own entity in some capacity in which it's just a platform, an available space where we can help other programs grow who are looking to do great life and wellness work mm-hmm. where we can infuse different wellness strategies into providing more like to support somatic health and just all that other stuff.
And we've invited other people in the communities into the wellness center to yes. do things that aren't even necessarily directly connected with us. We've had DJS, the Lynx program. They hold parenting groups here.
Yep.
There have been other, the Black Mental Health Alliance, they came to do their retreat for their staff and their board. Plenty of people come here to use the wellness center. We have a sisters empowerment group that comes in as well. A Black women's empowerment group. They come in to discuss their own mental health challenges and issues and just social issues that they're facing. So we open it up
yeah.
to a myriad of people. And here, our groups here, we have music groups, we have yoga groups, we have groups that encompass every area of life.
Yes. And I know one of my goals is to start implementing a mentoring program.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working with some people on that. However, if you're listening and you're interested in doing mentoring or just like after school type stuff, but from a real, not Afrocentric approach, I guess that would be the wrong word, because Afrocentric means like, does Afrocentric always mean like from an African approach?
Yes.
So I don't want it to necessarily be from an African approach. Not yeah. saying that it's something wrong with
so
that.
So you could use a marketing like buzzword African and say American, urban.
Like an urban, but then from like the, like African, in my opinion, mm-hmm. is different than African American. There are two different ways that you need to a way of coping, two different ways of existing and, mm-hmm. and norms and stuff like that.
I'm so glad you said that, because there are, I think sometimes people see it. I always say that Black people are not a monolith. And
are not what?
A monolith, they're not.
Yo, do you look these words up every week before you come, y'all?
I read. Well, you know, I read a lot.
They did not teach you this at Coppin, bro.
First of all, shout out to Coppin State College, which prepared me, the social work program there prepared me very well for the University of Maryland.
They did not teach you these. You learned those words at Maryland.
I have always been. No, I didn't. No,
no, we can't shade Coppin like that in the middle of Black History Month.
Right? I'm telling you.
But what does that word mean?
It means that we are not just one entity.
What's the word?
A monolith. A monolith.
Oh, I thought that was a thing I had in high school.
No, that
was just mono.
No, that was between you and your girlfriend. Yes. It's such a mess.
I'm just kidding.
But no, so we're just not, we're not all one thing. And that speaks to African culture. In Africa, there are hundreds of countries in Africa mm-hmm. with thousands of languages.
And different cultures.
And different cultures, yeah. So we always have to respect that. And for the African-American experience, it's a little bit different for us, because we had to almost start from the beginning, from scratch. So when we came here, we lost ties. When our ancestors came here, we lost a lot of the ties culturally that we had with those countries in Africa.
Yeah.
So we've been developing our own culture all this time, but some things are the same.
So what's that word again, so I can use it?
Monolith. I'm not with
monolith?
That. Monolith, yes.
Monolith, okay. I'm just going to break that out just in the middle of like, I'm going to be at some place at Diddy. I'm just going to yell out, monolith.
You know what? Now I'm going to have to relook it up just to make sure that I said it correctly, because I'm sure somebody's going to Google it.
Yeah. It'd be advantageous, Jada, to look that up since we want to bring out some words. You know, advantageous is my go-to.
Yes, I do. But you have other ones too, you know.
What's my other one?
What's that one you used to say every time we would go do presentations? Dang it, it was so funny.
Maladaptive?
Maladaptive. Maladaptive? Maladaptive behavior.
Maladaptive behavior.
Oh, he's showing off now. He got all his thesaurus. Hey. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
So, no, our vision, we're already implementing it, and I want to have that mentoring. And then I also want to have, like, that tutoring program where we can tutor, especially being that we're in a very heavy urban community, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I want to have tutors that the people in this area can relate to. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That they can come and see someone like them educating them, but not just educating from a 2+2 equals 4 perspective.
4 is right, Chris. Yes. Go ahead.
I was about to bring out my calculator. But from that perspective, but also teaching how to think, how to reason, and then providing that confidence that goes along with those things. I really feel like that's where the need is, you know, and we want to use BTSD Kids to try to subsidize some of that cost to provide those programming.
You know, I was telling my mom is a foster parent and has been for over a decade now, and she was saying that some of the girls that she's fostered, they don't know how to read, and these are little girls that are 10 years old, 11 years old, and they don't know how to read. And I was explaining to her that when I went to Coppin State College, shout out to Coppin, that I was as part of the honors program, we had to tutor.
Hold on, you in the honors program at Coppin?
Bro, I'm in the honors program everywhere I go. What you talking about?
Coppin has an honors program?
Absolutely. Coppin has
what is the GPA program to get on at 2.2?
See, I went with him. He's such a hater, y'all. But whatever it was, look, let's say this. Coppin, I went to graduate school, didn't I? So, but
you didn't become the president of your graduate school, though, so I'm just saying.
Here we go.
Only I have done that.
Here we go.
And I went to Morgan State University. That's why we have this Coppin versus Morgan thing going. It's not like we're talking bad about African-American schools,
HBCUs. Chris was president of the bridge at Morgan.
I was. I surely was.
He got a 4.0 in bridge.
I did. I have perfect attendance. Perfect attendance.
But anyway, what I was saying was that some of the boys that we would tutor, they were in the Whitburn Center and other they were living in group homes, and we were there to tutor them, but it was hard to tutor people who could not read. They didn't have the foundation to even begin. So it made me think about what's actually going on in our public school systems with children. How are you going to tutor? How are these kids? And they're on their report, it would say that they were in the 9th and 10th grade. Well, how are you in the 9th and 10th grade if you can only write your name?
Yeah.
So it's all relative.
Now think about if you can't read, what that has done.
To your self-esteem?
To somebody's self-esteem. Yep. That's the part that I really want to focus on with the tutoring program. Mm-hmm. Not just giving the skills to learn how to do those things, but building character, building that self-esteem, building those traits that are going to lead to successful individuals. Like for me, like with my son, I try to teach him reasoning. Mm-hmm. Like history, English, never changes.
Yes.
The answers are the answers. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So to me, that's not what makes somebody an overly intellectual individual, how much of these things you can remember. For me, I think what we need to do as a community is teach reasoning.
And problem solving.
Mm-hmm. So like math. So regardless, whatever the variables are, when the variables change, you can still get the answer.
Yes.
And you can still figure it out.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When they just teach you the number scale, you're going to memorize the answer, but you're not going to understand how to replace these variables to still get a certain outcome. And I believe for me, that was like one of the things that has led to if you want to call it success, whatever it is that I've done so far, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's being able to be fluid, being able to adjust the variables, plug in something else, and still get the outcome that we want.
You're absolutely right, because what we find, especially in this community that we have, is that we don't have people who are unintelligent. Some of the people around here are ridiculously intelligent, and some things they do are on a genius level. What they haven't been able to do was to be able to assimilate to traditional education for a myriad of reasons.
And what are those?
A lot of it is the environment that they have, and also systemic issues as well, and systemic oppression as well. And when we look at the prison to the public school to prison pipeline, it makes it oh so clear why this is difficult for you. And then what brought about one thing I can say I appreciated about the Rise with Freddie Gray is that It brought about the issue of lead poisoning.
Oh. And, I thought you were about to say that you got some Fritos from CVS or something.
No. And I've been at CVS a million times. Never mind. I get a little frustrated about that because CNN, of all the things that happened in Baltimore during those quote-unquote riots or uprising, as they call them, the CVS was the only thing that they showed on CNN over and over and over again being burned down.
I mean, it was on fire, Jada.
It was on fire.
What was more of a dramatic image to capture than that, though?
But guess what wasn't on fire? What? K&K, the orange store to sell the chicken boxes on the corner of Fulton and North Avenue. We were like, no, not K&K. Look, Sharita said, I know about K&K.
Yo, you're making me hungry right now. The chicken box, huh? Yeah. So pepper ketchup.
It's dope.
K&K. Yeah, I could use a chicken box right now, but I've been eating well.
You have been eating well.
I've lost 30, how much? 30 pounds?
445 pounds you've lost.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Because the month of January.
I've lost like 12, 13 pounds.
Your weight loss is huge.
Huge. Very large sizes. Very large crowd sizes too. But watching me lose the weight.
I can't. What they realize now, and a lot of the focus for lead paint poisoning, Freddie Gray suffered from lead paint poisoning. Mm-hmm. And what we know now is that what we know before, always knew, but no one really did anything about it, was that lead, when you have lead paint poisoning, it eats away at your frontal lobe and it stops frontal lobe development. That's your reasoning and learning center in your frontal lobe.
Well, looking at my frontal lobe, I've never had lead in my life.
Your frontal lobe is overdeveloped. Got a whole extra brain in your forehead.
Thanks, Chris. And that's why I'm so smart.
Listen, I got a big forehead myself. But that impacts. So when you look at that, that's an environmental way. Something that's beyond your control because you may live in a house with crumbling paint. You're a small child. You're breathing in the dust and the fumes from those paints. But also, it has an orange taste. And so children are more inclined to pick it and eat it.
Yeah.
And so how can you help that?
It's very difficult.
By the time they test for it, it's too late if it's in your blood.
Yeah.
So that means the damage is already done.
So it's already setting people up for failure, basically.
A disadvantage.
A disadvantage. Mm-hmm. Let's not say failure. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be that much harder.
Yep.
To live a balanced life.
Yep.
We sometimes underestimate the need to live a balanced life, how much that plays into your wellness. Mm-hmm. When people think about wellness, they think about, oh, what did I eat?
Yes.
Did I work out?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
What's amazing to me is that people seem to separate the brain from the body. And we don't do that with any other organ. We understand that, you know, if you eat certain foods, it hurts your heart. You know that if you eat certain foods, it'll hurt your stomach. You understand that certain things will make you feel sluggish. But people don't seem to put together emotions and how you feel in the way that you think with your body. And so what we want to do is to make sure that people understand that there's a connection between the brain and body, and there's a mind-body connection, and the ways in which we can do things and have interventions to help that and to boost that so that you are achieving a state of well-being.
So there is hope for me.
I think you're doing it right now. I mean, I see everybody sees your Instagram story and you go to the gym, you eat your fruits and vegetables. I see you drinking your kombucha for your gut, mm-hmm. your gut health, and you're trying to have a healthy microbiome. I see you.
But more than that, doing yoga. But then more than that, it's like what my goal is, and something I've been working on, is to make sure that I have a good work-life balance as well.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say work-life balance?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the right word?
Life-work balance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I want to have a good balance of those things as well. So mm-hmm. like, not only do I want to work out and lose weight,
mm-hmm.
not only do I want to eat well,
mm-hmm.
not only do I want to be successful at work, I also want to be successful at home.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And that's a balance that sometimes is hard to find. Like usually people put so much effort into working hard and mm-hmm. being great there, but then their life balance fails. So for me, my goal is to provide like a really good balance
mm-hmm.
and it's really needed for like my kids and stuff like that. But just even for my own sake of mind, you know what I mean?
I think that we should all free ourselves from thinking that your life should always be balanced. Because if you look at the way a pendulum swings, a pendulum is very rarely ever in the middle. If it's in the middle, it means it stopped moving, which means that we would be dead. So what you want to do is to have, you're not balanced. You're always in a state of balancing. And you want to measure your pendulum swing. And you want to be mindful of how far left and right your pendulum goes. So what? Why is that funny to you?
I'm just, nothing. Go ahead.
I hate him.
I'm just like trying to take this in where I thought I was balanced. Now you're telling me I'm still trying.
But what
trying
you're
to...
doing is you're working towards balancing.
Gotcha.
You don't want to go too, because we work hard.
Yes.
We don't want to work so hard that we don't have the time for the other things that may feed us spiritually, like being with family, like being with friends, like getting rest, like going to our houses of worship, like exercising. We want to make sure that we are leaving room and we're swinging in a way that we take into account all of those things so that we can get fed from every place.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So you seem to be very knowledgeable of these things. Mm-hmm. However, you're also imperfect at these things.
I am imperfect.
Because you will send me a 5, 6 a.m. text message, good morning, and I can tell it's been on your mind all morning, like you haven't slept. I know when you haven't slept, because I'll get the first thing in the morning text message, and it's like 4 or 5 paragraphs of things to do, things to be mindful of, all this other stuff, things that were on your mind. So, and then we're talking, you're like, yeah, I couldn't sleep last night. I was just thinking about this, thinking about that. Yeah. So yep. What are you going to do to work on your balance to balance?
I've started doing some of the same things that you do. I've, you know, been mindful of the way of managing my environment, mm-hmm. and managing my response to things. And believe it or not, I actually do work to try to sleep more. But also, I've started doing yoga. Mm-hmm. I started doing breath meditations and all of those things. Breath meditations. It's interesting because it's almost
I don't think I can do breath meditations.
You so could do breath meditations.
Nah, I'm going to have to eat an Altoid before I do a breath meditation. Because sometimes, yo, my joint could be a little wicked, you know what I'm saying? And if I meditate on my breath, I'd probably pass out.
Oh, he gets on my nerves so bad. Don't kill yourself doing a breath meditation.
Yeah, come on. Send the calorie law.
Okay, but you know, I do those things in order to, and I'm Christian, so I read scripture as well. So in the mornings when I'm supposed to be waking up, or at 4 o'clock in the morning when I'm awake because I can't sleep, mm-hmm. I'll read scripture, I'll do breath meditations, and I go to yoga mm-hmm. 3 to 5 times a week.
So you're doing everything but maintaining a successful diet.
Well, I try to do that also.
Not when I saw you in Glory Days, not our meeting in Glory Days the other day.
I was so mad. First of all, shout out to Glory Days on Joppa Road in Towson. That's my husband's restaurant.
That's our baby daddy.
That's our baby daddy. That's Chris McCray. but it's hard to do that at BTST because y'all suck.
No, I
they
don't.
They celebrate everything around here.
Yo, but even in the midst of those celebrations, I eat fruit and veggies all day long.
Bro, you sniff other people's cheeseburgers.
I smell it. I don't eat it. Smelling gave me that, you know, the smell gives me the same dopamine release and feeling of that, what is it, euphoric feeling mm-hmm. of eating it.
So you want to be mindful of...
You like that I know my chemical reaction.
Bro, whatever, I can't. I'm in awe.
You got to put some respect on my,
I give you respect.
My clinical
yes.
understanding of You're, things.
It's huge. But but also I don't want people to get overwhelmed as well. So mm-hmm. it's one of those things where I realized, and we've shared this before when we talked about New Year, New You, that my life was out of balance because I had put so much of a focus and emphasis on work. And my work is important to me.
Yeah,
so,
I would hope.
Yeah. Right. My work is important to me, but I realized that I had kind of swung out of balance, which is why I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning and stuff and not sleeping. Mm-hmm. But one of the things you want to do is just to kind of slowly introduce things to yourself, which is why, you know, I started with the yoga and becoming more mindful, because a lot of times certain things like heart disease or like weight gain or something like that, that's a symptom of the
problem.
That was
going to be my next question. Mm-hmm. If you're completely unbalanced like that, or you have unbalanced issues, are there any, what are some diagnosis or things that can come from that?
So from our end, the things that we see, it presents to us because people will come because they'll have symptoms of anxiety or symptoms of depression or, you know, symptoms.
And that could come from an unbalanced life?
Yes, definitely so. Because again, just like we said that lead paint poisoning, the lead in the environment can disrupt frontal lobe function and, mm-hmm. and hinder frontal lobe function. The same thing about what you eat, how you sleep, and environmental factors can impact your mental health. The brain is in the body, so it can't not be impacted by.
I can understand.
Things.
So basically, if I'm having a I'm not providing that good balance, I can. It probably caused me to worry more and do mm-hmm. all this other stuff, which
yes.
would lead to mm-hmm. maybe anxiety or something yep. like that.
Yeah,
I
or it
you.
Could be something as simple as a lot of times the symptoms of anxiety can be lessened. We can tell people we'll do an evaluation when they come in, and we'll ask them things about their caffeine intake and, you know, if they're doing any other kinds of drugs. So sometimes it's something as simple as decreasing the amount of caffeine that you drink or changing the food.
Says the person that has a coffee cup next to them.
Mind your business. Listen. I know what to do. I develop coping skills. Listen, my coffee is my coping skill.
So, you know, I don't drink coffee.
I know you don't.
I just have like a boost of energy off of life.
Good for you.
I do. I drink one thing. I drink a caramel macchiato. And come to find out, it's only like a smidgen of coffee in there.
There's no coffee in it.
It's a double shot, but everything else is like foam, caramel.
Bro, that's a melted milkshake.
Basically.
It's a hot milkshake.
A hot milkshake, basically.
I need that coffee.
I didn't realize that until I actually saw them make it.
But listen, I actually have to be mindful of my caffeine intake because I'm sensitive to it. But I know that because I'm a person where I kind of know myself pretty well.
You're sensitive to what?
To caffeine.
But you still drink it.
So if I overdrink coffee, like I can't drink 2 cups of coffee.
So you have like nervous. So you have like a a drinking limit, but on coffee.
Yes, I can't have more than one cup of coffee.
We'll call you an Uber if you have more than one cup of coffee.
Because you're gonna have to. I'm gonna be bouncing off the walls and jittery and shaking my knee and everything else.
Oh my gosh.
But no, so. But not even just caffeine can make people anxious, but it's also sugar and also wheat and corn and grains and all of these things, or different, not even just anxiety, but sometimes when children come in with a diagnosis of ADHD, one of the first things that we do is ask their parents to put them on a GAPS diet.
Like a what?
A GAPS diet.
Because my son was diagnosed with ADHD, mm-hmm. and I think that part of the reason it did come from like... an unbalanced life, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like his parents are impulsive. We don't have a structured life. We don't have a structured like 9 to 5. We come home, eat dinner as a family. Mm-hmm. We watch Roseanne,
and then
you know Roseanne coming back on.
I know she's a Trump supporter. Mm-hmm.
Teach his own, Jada. Teach his own.
I mean, no shade.
We don't have that balance, and then we like take. Not we, but he'll take a bath and then go to sleep at it. Mm-hmm. You know, one day we might be here, then they got to eat out, then we have this boom, boom, got to be there, got to be there life. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure that lack of balance, I don't know how much of a part it played, but in my mind, I think it played a part mm-hmm. in that attention deficit thing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then not to mention, like, we spoil him. So on Christmas, he gets all these toys, so he's jumping from one thing to the next thing. So I feel like I am partially responsible for
it's a lot of stimulation, but also just being mindful of the way children's bodies respond to the food and the chemicals that are in the food now. So having children, part of the GAPS process is to get children off of processed foods because there are many chemicals.
So it's called GAPS?
The GAPS, uh-huh.
Does that stand for anything?
Yes.
You don't know what it is.
Not off the top of my head.
I got him. Got him. Got him.
Not off the top of my head. Ooh, I wish I could have pulled it out.
We're going to work on that.
But no, part of that is because, again, it like
George, keep passing my phone. I'm going to Google this GAPS diet.
But again, because of the... Thanks. Because it's an environmental response sometimes. So what we'll find is that children will have a decrease in symptoms because there are many chemicals in foods that children are exposed to. When you go to pick something up and you pick something up for your child, it may be a Pop-Tart, and you're thinking, okay, well, you know, it's wheat and sugar and flour. No, there are other things in there that we're not exactly sure at this point how it reacts with our kids. So we put kids on an all-natural diet with no processed foods, and we find that a lot of times the symptoms decrease dramatically.
Yeah.
So before we try to put them on any kind of medication, the first thing we do is exercise to kind of get the endorphins going and also to activate the parasympathetic nervous system as well.
The what?
Parasympathetic nervous system. It's the part of your body. It's the part of your system that calms you down. So we teach breathing techniques and deep breathing techniques to help and also put.
Is it gut and psychological syndrome?
There we go. Thank
gotcha.
You.
All right. Yeah.
Because now they know that there's a big connection between your gut is considered your second brain.
Well, I had a big second brain as well then.
Now it's 30 pounds lighter.
I know, right? But it actually makes me feel smarter.
Yeah, but look at what you did with your diet. Because those of you who don't know, Chris is now pretty much on a whole foods diet. So he's a pescatarian and he cut out processed foods. So he eats fruits, vegetables, and lean meats comprising primarily of seafood.
Yeah.
And so when you think
I'm
sure you're probably sleeping better. I'm sure your mind is clear. I'm sure you have more energy, which is probably why
Initially, my energy was down some. But
yeah, you probably went through kind of like a keto keto flu initially.
What?
Keto flu, when you go through ketosis.
Is that like swine if you're
not
flu? Getting,
no, it's not. Ketosis is a fat burning state.
I did get a cough.
I feel like I'm a nutritionist today, but there's such a connection between
keto flu.
Keto flu is your body goes through ketosis.
So it's not like the bird flu.
No.
The dance that they was doing a few years ago.
No. When you dramatically cut down your carbohydrate intake, your body goes into ketosis, which is a fat burning state. And when your body goes through ketosis, sometimes if you're not getting enough sodium, sometimes people go through ketosis inadvertently, but if you're not getting enough sodium, then your body can go through what's called the keto flu, where you feel like you have the flu. But that passes if you get enough salt in you and you keep drinking water and you hydrate, because carbohydrates hold on to water, which is why when you change your diet, you had that big flush, that whoosh of 12 pounds that went away. Mm-hmm. That was primarily water and inflammation that left your body, whereas protein, the water goes out, so you don't hold on to the sodium and the electrolytes.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's called ketosis?
Ketosis, yes.
What were we talking about?
Another
word that says something like ketosis or... What's that word?
Halitosis is what you were talking about before with your breath.
Oh, man. Now, but you know what, though? What? This may be TMI.
Because you will not claim you have halitosis on this podcast.
I'm not going to let you do that to yourself.
Okay.
No. But what I will say is that I noticed once I start eating well, your whole bowels change as well.
Yes.
Like I didn't have IBS or anything.
No.
But I would go to the bathroom right after I ate.
Yeah.
But now.
Second floor.
I just go and lock myself in the gym. Do not. I lock both doors. I lock the gym door and the bathroom door.
Me too. Not that I ever
You're
do
not
that
coming
work.
Anywhere close in. But no, I noticed now I don't have those same reactions to go to the bathroom the same way.
No, because your body's functioning the way that it should. You probably probably also realize that you have better, you're probably thinking better, you're probably thinking a little bit more clearly, probably less reactionary, and also any stress and anxiety that you have, you'll probably have a decrease in those symptoms as well. We don't realize how much we're impacted
by the foods,
that you eat, the processed foods in particular.
That's like What the Health.
Yes, yes.
Did you watch that?
No, because it was... I feel at this point, I told Chris that I was considering going back to school for nutrition science, but it's...
You told me that?
Yes, I told you that.
Or you're Chris?
No, I told you that the other day. You was...
Was I listening?
La La Land. What were you thinking about? Probably thinking about your next big thing.
I don't know. My mind's always somewhere else. So you want to be a nutritionist now?
No. Well, what I'm saying is when I realized that there was such a connection between your gut and your brain, it's really fascinating.
It really is, because I know we used to eat fried chicken and everything, I noticed a direct connection. And I, you want to hear the story? This child story is actually better than mine. It was a friend of mine. She was at my house. And she was telling me about her friend's daughter, right? So her friend's daughter went to the nurse's office and was like, how did it go? She was like, she wants to come home. She's not feeling well. So the nurse calls the mother and was like, yeah, you know, she's not feeling well. She's just staying here. You know, it must be something that she ate or whatever. So the mother was like, oh my God, is she all right? He was like, yeah, she's just feeling very lethargic. And she's tired. I'm not really sure what's going on, but we're worried. So the girl was like, she said she's had this before, so you may be aware of this.
No.
And she said, I'm not quite sure what it is, but I'll let her. What is it again, sweetheart? She said, the itis.
Throw the whole podcast away. I'm done.
She said
I'm
she
done.
Has the itis. You might want to come get her. So what I'm being said, I noticed the gut, the brain reaction as well. I used to get that same symptom, that same diagnosis called the itis after I ate fried chicken and stuff like that. However, now that I eat fruits all day and veggies, I don't have it anymore.
Oh my God. You know that actually there's an explanation for that. I'm not a nutritionist, let me just say this. But there is an explanation for that. You got it. When you eat really heavily foods, especially foods that are really laden with carbohydrate, what happens is that you have an insulin spike. And so you have that initial you know, the elation, which is why people continue.
And you have
to
a shortfall.
And then you have a crash. Your body needs, or heavy fat foods. Your body literally needs to shut down, and it wants you to go to sleep so that it can process.
You need to go hibernate.
Yes, Your body is like, yo, you need to really go lay down so that I can process this and get this out of here.
Yeah, you can. As you get that chicken box, your body cannot multitask.
No, your body's like, listen,
we gotta, hey, chill out. We gotta figure this out. Hey. Send the calorie log.
Your body done with you, like, chill.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And you are less productive at work. So.
You are. So I have been way more productive recently, I guess.
You are not.
So all that to say, let's conclude this. How are we concluding this? We need balance.
You need balance, yeah. But also, we focused a lot on diet and how diet impacts your brain and your mind. Mm-hmm. But also, you want to get enough sleep. You want to focus on your breathing and how you're breathing, making sure you're getting in enough rest. But then also,
breathe in 3 seconds.
Yes.
Blow out 3 seconds.
He didn't.
That's my yoga.
Go ahead, yoga.
Yes.
But you want to be cognizant of those things.
You ever heard of puffy cheek blow?
No.
You never gone to like one of the classes before you have a baby? What's they called?
Oh yeah.
What are those classes called? Lamaze class, mm-hmm. Yeah. And they teach you these different breathing things.
I should have.
And one was called the puffy cheek blow.
No.
And I had to practice it with Janine. It was like, I was doing a puffy cheek blow.
Maybe I wouldn't have had 2 C-sections. I should have gone to Lamaze.
Well, it didn't work for us either.
Okay.
She's never implemented it at all. She's been unconscious each time. Sedated.
But that's the best way to have it. It's like, no, it's not. But you want to make sure that you are getting enough rest, but also you are exercising in some way and you're strength training and eating well. Those things impact you, but also your interactions with other people. Hmm. They find that in a hierarchy of needs, when they talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you want to make sure that your body needs are met. But also when they did studies, they found that people who can live longer, the most important factors in living longer were those social connections. And having
they
those relationships.
They say if you smile, it makes your life last longer.
I smile all the time.
And
I laugh all the time. So much my sister thinks it's obnoxious. She's like, your laugh is obnoxious. And I'm like, because I feel it. Like, it's funny to me.
It's the gut-mouth reaction. You get laughing from your gut.
From my gut, yes. I'm happy.
No, but I do agree that positive inactions and stress or stress can can impact that.
And having people...
And good, interactions can improve it.
And having people that you can rely on, that you can talk to, there's something to be said about shared burdens.
What?
Shared burdens. It's something to be said about having people that you can go to when you're in times of need or when you're in times of sorrow that can comfort you, even if it's your thing and it's yours alone.
Is that a sophisticated way of saying gossip?
No, not gossip. Listen, I've had good girlfriends. I tell anybody. I had the same 2 girlfriends since I was 9, and I added another when I was 12, and they have been my friends.
I had the same 2 girlfriends before I got married.
He's the worst.
I'm just kidding.
But no, and these
Chris Simon's views do not depict the views of BTSC services.
We just need to have
George,
that disclaimer.
George, we're
going to
need you to cue that and just add that at the end of each podcast.
Every disclaimer. But with these people, and also I have really strong family connections. Everybody, if you know me, you know my family.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have people that I can talk to, that I can rely on in times of need. And not in gossipy ways, or not even just getting caught up in complaining, but people who I know I don't have to go through this life alone.
Yes.
So we all need those things.
You do. And then you need positive outlets. Yep. So and for me, I have those, but I still go to therapy as well.
Yeah.
Go to counseling so that
I will always advocate for therapy.
Yeah, you should. Like, you can't be a therapist unless you've been in the seat of a client.
Mm-hmm.
Is what they say.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gone, not because I'm trying to be a therapist any further. I think that ship has sailed. Chris. Wasn't that? No, I'm just kidding.
No.
But no,
that's an inside joke, yo.
No, so
I'm sorry.
But it is helpful for me to be able to vent, get out some of those things, get some direction, and some of those things as well. So,
And people should remember that therapy. The role of a therapist is to be a non-judgmental, positive. Just have non-judgmental, constant positive regard.
So if people are in need of a good therapist, where can they go, Jada?
www.btsdservices.com.
And click the referral link that follows you.
It follows you. Every page, the referral link follows you.
Is the first page link fixed now? No. Okay. Well, click the second page on, and you'll be able to refer yourself or refer someone anyway. So I think that wraps up this session.
Yeah. And I will keep you going along. Chris is taking the headlong approach to balancing. I'm taking a long...
Did you just call me the headlong? Yo, how many times are you going to keep cracking on my head, bro?
It's not me. I did not create your head.
That's headlong
you
approach. God.
That is what you have okay. to do. But no, Chris dove straight head into his wellness for the new year. But I have decided to take a longer approach to it. Just
at a time. What? She's gonna take the country route.
Yeah, I am because
and I'm taking the express train.
He's taking express train. He's on that the new one that they have in Asia, the bullet train. Yeah. But but the thing is, we'll both get there, mm-hmm. and so we'll probably share that with you as we go along, Chris. And I don't know if you got more to lose because you already lost over 400 pounds. So like, what?
What else is left? The beach gonna get this body this year. it ain't gonna get whatever body
you
I give it.
I'm bringing it
to the beach.
All right, beach.
Hey, make a space for my sand. Here I come. I'm bringing my own sand. Listen. But no, so we're gonna have Twiggins on here 1 week to talk about the yoga. Mm-hmm. Then we're gonna get Coach T on here.
Yeah, that's gonna be
people
awesome.
Excited about Coach T and some of the stuff.
Oh yeah, I was at a
and we want to talk about weight loss. Yes. I've heard she's
amazing.
All right, so we're gonna have some fun episodes coming up about wellness, and then when we get into March, we're going into social work month, and we're gonna do some fun stuff there. Do we have anybody on the couch today?
We could talk about Quincy Jones on the couch. Have you been reading those interviews?
About the dude from the Godfather?
Oh, yeah, him and everything
else. No, Quincy Jones, what was he talking
about? So I thought it was interesting because Quincy Jones had shared that, I mean, he said he spilled all kinds of tea. But in addition to that, he talked about losing his mother at age 7 because she went to, of course, this is the part of the interview I would find interesting. She went to a psychiatric, she went to a mental hospital at the time.
Really?
Yes, and come to find out, it was all because she had a vitamin B deficiency. So it was something that could have been easily prevented if they caught it in time. But he talked about the impact of not having his mother and how it impacted the rest of his life.
So, okay. So if he was your client, I'm pretty sure that he would be pretty reluctant to therapy or coming to a psychiatric center, mm-hmm. being that the trauma that he experienced from someone else coming to one. But this was someone that somebody might refer or say, hey, is in need of some counseling or something like that. Mm-hmm. How would you meet him where he was and help them work through that? Because a lot of our clients are resistant to services because of negative stigmas.
Yeah.
But then also experiences that they might have gone through at other places or seen other people go through.
When I read his interview, what I found to be so interesting was that part of the reason why his mother had the breakdown in the first place and why they were left the way that they were left was because they didn't have access to mental health treatment because they were in poverty. She couldn't afford the medication, which is why she had the breakdown and ended up in the mental institution.
Oh, wow.
But also, it left he and his brother, they were also impoverished as well as a result of it. And he said lived in a gun shack with his grandmother and had to, like, eat rats.
What's a gun shack?
I've never heard of a gun shack before.
Oh.
But I just assume it was somewhere I would not want to live.
It sounds like a CPS investigation.
Yeah, you know, and they had to go catch rats to eat dinner.
What?
Yes, read those two articles that he said. But a lot of that was because...
Had to catch rats to eat dinner?
Yes.
So like you get the rat to bait the other food in, or
no,
you're eating the rat?
No, to eat the rat.
For real?
Catch a rat by the tail, put it in a bag, and give it to their grandmother to cook. He said with red beans and rice.
Wow.
Just so that they could have some kind of protein. And he said meat is meat. But what I took away from that was that when people are in extreme poverty, the lack of access to healthcare can literally destroy your family. And he says that's exactly what happened with him. Now, don't get me wrong. He is super accomplished in his life. But when I think about a little 7-year-old boy and his brother being left without a mother and a woman being in mental anguish all because she doesn't have access to medication. And I think about the people that we service, and we service all kinds of people and try our very best to make sure that they have access to the things that they need. That's an entire family that could have not had to experience those things in that trauma if only his mother had access to medication.
So how would you start with him?
With him?
Yeah. If he was... Obviously, he's experienced some trauma because of that, mm-hmm. but probably going to be reluctant to services or whatever. So how would you meet him where he was?
Well, you first have to establish a bond because that's a crucial time for a child to lose their mother. And from what he said, he never experienced a time where his mother wasn't mentally ill. So already you would know that he would probably have some issues with attachment. And so it's very, very difficult to kind of create those attachment, recreate those attachments. But we have a lot of people who come into therapy and always say, no matter how skilled the clinician is, the most important part of the therapeutic experience is the therapeutic relationship. It is the relationship, like I said before, the unwavering, constant, positive regard of the therapist in a non-judgmental way. that solidifies the relationship. And so I've treated children that have been traumatized before and had poor attachments, and it's always trying to form that connection with them.
Yeah.
Because even though the goal is for people to move on and to move forward, it's just like you want to create an experience where they can have a relationship.
My old pastor, P.M. Smith, used to have this word thing. He used to say, it's all about relationship.
All about
or relationship. Or it's not about nothing.
Yep.
So once that relationship is formed, then where do you go from with working with him?
So once that's the most important thing, once the relationship is formed, then you can explore all kinds of avenues. And it's about what he needs at the time, what the client needs, what reveals itself in treatment, and you'll figure out which way to go with that. But you want to first form the relationship, and that'll be the hard part. So all of the techniques that you learn, all of the things that you learn in school, all of the things that you learn afterward, the hardest part is to form a genuine connection and relationship with that client. And sometimes we'll have children who come in with attachment issues. They are hard to love, and I get that they're hard to love, but you've got to find something as the clinician about that kid that's a positive thing, and also to help them see that I see this positive thing in you.
Gotcha. So with Quincy, we can't dish any dirt of how you spill any secrets of what you would do after that, because I guess it's unique to whatever he opens up with.
It's unique to whatever he presents with. No matter what I know about that client beforehand, I've had clients that have been in the news before, and I didn't, you know, I would hear about something before they came into my office or before I started meeting with them. And whatever that is, we leave that outside the door. And it's all about what they reveal when you're together.
Man, I was hoping that you could give me some interventions with them, because I was going to bring it up just in casual conversation with my boys and say the same stuff. Just,
you know what Quincy really needs.
You know what Quincy needs. Let me tell you something. I'm very smart at this stuff. I was going to basically try to steal it, but it looks like you're not going to spill the juice.
Well, no, it's a beautiful thing, and I'm always very respectful of he's not my client. But I'm always respectful of the relationship. And I know that some things throughout humanity, all of us have behaviors that are very true. I mean, that are very consistent and the same. But we are so individual. It's a beautiful thing when you think about how individual each person is.
Yes. Speaking of individual, this individual is ready to get something to eat. So we're going to wrap this podcast up.
Don't, Chris. Bye.
See y'all.
Y'all have a good weekend.
All right.
Or whenever you see this. Listen to it, right?